If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester here on this Monday morning. The weather has been great. We're feeling good. Glad to be here with you as we make our way through a couple of different postseasons of the NBA and the NHL. Max and I's Winnipeg Jets win in double overtime last night to keep my bet alive, trying to get a new driver. Max gave me a hockey bet, and there we go. I watched it, Max. I did. I was up late working last night. I had it on. It was exciting. So there we go. Max and I still alive in the NHL. Glad to be here with you. The NBA playoffs are really good. You've got a little bit of round two action. You had a game seven last night. Fred VanVleet, who we watched for the Shockers, of course, didn't get it done. But another guy we used to watch at Sunrise Christian, Buddy Hield, a big reason why the Warriors advanced. So that's happening. The Royals stay hot. We will have Jalen Thompson in early this week. He's going to join us today instead of Friday this week, which is good because the Royals are, well, they're playing really, really well. And they scored some runs this weekend against Baltimore, as we said they need to. So we'll get into all of that today. The Chiefs have been talking. They've been looking at some of these rookies. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You didn't mention the complete domination from Scottie Scheffler on the PGA Tour over the weekend. I mean, he just absolutely lapped the entire field. It was not unlike what I did to you on the golf course on Friday. It was kind of about the same thing, the way Scottie Scheffler beat all the opponents on tour over the weekend. That's kind of similar to the way that our golf match finished up on Friday.
Yeah, you did beat me. I don't know that domination is the proper word. I expected you to play better.
I beat you by 23 strokes. So
no, you gave me 18 strokes.
Right. So I still beat you by five. I beat you by, but overall, if we're talking like they're not stroking it on the PGA Tour like that. So, you know,
we're not on the PGA Tour.
I know,
Tommy.
I'm telling you,
by five.
I beat you by 23 gross. And I gave you 18 strokes, and I still beat you by five.
So what if I was ahead in gross? Would you have said you beat me today?
If you were ahead, like if you beat me straight up?
No. The other way.
There would have been a caveat. I mean, had you beaten me net?
Well, if there's a caveat, what's the point of the strokes?
Well, but there's no caveat because I beat you both on both sides.
It didn't matter.
We could talk about what ifs all day long.
As I expected to play. I expected you to play much better, quite frankly. But yeah, Tommy did get me. We're working on it. It's all right. We're working on it. My back's still a little bit sore for my first 18 rounds of the year. Getting old sucks. But yeah, appreciate the time out at Crestview Country Club. Got my hat on this morning here for Crestview. Got a little sun. It doesn't matter. I could have got beat by a million and it would have been perfect because the weather
beautiful.
Was perfect.
This weekend, the entire weekend was just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. I took my son out last night for 8 holes at Crestview, which was great. I was able to pop out there, spend a little more time in that amazing sun, And it's a lot of fun. Give them a call. Check out Crestview. They're working on the pool. It's about that time of year where that place is hopping every single day. I didn't watch any of the golf. I got to admit, I heard it. I could hear it while I was at Crestview, quite frankly, in the clubhouse. Scheffler, when I saw him get out to that big lead, I was like, well, nobody's catching Scheffler. And I do like, I have some fondness for that tournament played back in Texas. That's a tournament, Ryan Palmer, who's from Amarillo, I've said before, has done well in historically. So I do like that tournament. But yeah, when you see Scheffler get that kind of lead, like he's not going to blow that lead. So, good for him. I'm glad that the best golfer in the world got a win. The big thing is the Royals, and we're going to get into it with Jalen Thompson, but man, they just got their hair on fire right now, and we'll see. Baltimore, again, is one of the worst pitching teams in baseball. So I say the offense blew up. That's not probably fair, and we'll dig into that storyline. I don't know how much you paid attention to the Chiefs and what Andy Reid was saying over the weekend. They get a chance to see some of these guys now. This will be what's coming this week. And then, you know, the big update there, Josh Simmons is doing the individual work. So
he signed his contract too, by the way. I don't know if you saw that.
Quote here is, just taking it slow here is what they're going to do with him. I don't know. I think that's the thing we'll watch more than anything with the rookies, Tommy, out of the gates. Not that he's going to be the biggest impact guy, but just because he could transform so much of this team. I don't expect, and I know they're saying I don't know that I would expect him right out of the gates. There's no reason not to take it slow with him.
Yeah, well, and I know that the other big storyline I just mentioned, he signed his contract over the weekend too. Adam Schefter reported that. So the fully guaranteed, I think it's $14 million or whatever it is for, you know, the first rounder that the Chiefs were able to get for him. And so that's all done and set, ready to go. At least that's out of the way. There was never any doubt that was going to take place, but that's out of the way and done. Now it's just getting him rehabbed, getting him healthy, getting him ready to go. I don't think that there is like an overwhelming sense of urgency to get him in because you do have a stopgap at left tackle with Jalen Moore. And so I don't think because, you know, it's not like you're walking into this season with just the dumpster fire at left tackle that you had last year. If that was the case for the Chiefs, then yeah, like I would say you got to hustle to get Josh Simmons ready to go. But there is a little bit of a buffer. I think you can take your time slightly. I'd like to see him back, of course, as soon as humanly possible. But it's not like there's this like glaring issue where, you know, you've got to have him there right away. At least the Chiefs have done what they can to get somebody at least to fill that role for the time being until he's ready to go.
Yeah, you say Moore is the stopgap. I think Juwan Taylor's the stopgap. Like he's the odd man out. And this will be an interesting thing to watch too. Like if Simmons is really good, like if he's healthy, if he's really good, you think it's Jalen Moore that will take the bench? I kind of think it'll be Juwan Taylor. I've had this thought for a long time. I don't think Juwan Taylor's played very well for the Chiefs. I think he's just been better than the bad left tackles they've had. I bet you see Simmons or Moore slide over to right tackle. If Simmons is ready to go, I think that's what
I don't think that you see Josh Simmons playing right tackle. I don't think they drafted him in the first
either.
Round.
I think you see Jalen Moore.
I feel like that's probably a more likely scenario. If Taylor ends up on the bench, he's going to be gone after this year more than likely anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
So, I mean, I would imagine it'd be Jalen Moore sliding over. I can't imagine that the Chiefs drafted Josh Simmons, who was dominant, by the way, at the left tackle position in college at Ohio State, projected out before the injury to be a top 10 pick. And right. They're paying him, you know, rookie left tackle money. They're not going to slide him over to right tackle.
No, I mean,
it'd be Jalen Moore that would do that, I would think.
Yeah, I agree with that. My point is that I think Juwan Taylor will be the odd man out if Simmons is ready to go. Whichever one plays left and right, I would agree with you. You'd probably play Simmons left. I don't really care. As long as they're both playing, that's a good development. If those two are the two tackles, that's a good development for the Chiefs. That means they'll both have been better than anything the Chiefs have run out the last couple of years. I think so. That's, you know, that's the thing to watch. But the reality is Juwan Taylor there, who can play it, you have the time to take with Josh Simmons that you might need. The medicals on him are going to be bad. We're never going to get that true story, right? We're never going to know how his knee's actually progressing until we see him play out on the field. But we'll get into that later in the show. It's a good topic of discussion. We'll come back. We'll hit the Royals a little bit. When we return, don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for being here and being a part of the show and keeping us fueled up here each and every morning on the Odyssey family of networks. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Max Power. Powering some hockey love. I don't know if you saw it last night. That Winnipeg game was wild. Just flipping back and forth, Tommy, between that and the year. I'm in now on the NBA playoffs. Everybody can stop giving me a hard time. Like, I'm in. I've been watching a lot more now than I have all year, and it's been good. It's been good. You know, the Warriors-Rockets last night was good. Cavs-Pacers is almost guaranteed to be a great series. I try to get on as much hockey as I can. I watched a little Stars Avs this weekend. It's just kind of on in the background. Like, I'm not locked in, but you know, we had a situation this week where we had a day off for both the Royals and the Rangers, who I try to watch every night. And we had early games yesterday, some working last night. I'm like, what am I going to watch? So you know, here we go. It's that time of year. It is a good time of year, even if that's a good thing. Certainly about the NHL playoffs, you can lock in at any point. You can just jump in cold turkey and be great. And the NBA playoffs is that way a little bit too.
You didn't catch Sunday Night Baseball, the Braves and the Dodgers in primetime on ESPN last night?
I didn't, and I had a reason. My fantasy baseball team was dependent on some nice Dodger performances, but by the time I was ready to watch something, that game was kind of over.
Ninth. The Dodgers came back, and the Braves held on and won. Yeah, it was 4-3 was the final, but it got pretty tense there in the last couple of innings.
I didn't, and I do like Sunday Night Baseball. I do watch a little Sunday Night Baseball from time to time. I did not watch it last night, though.
I saw your Rangers fired their hitting coach over the weekend.
I mean, I'm telling you, like if you're a Royals fan today and you're like, man, our offense has been really frustrating this year, you ought to watch the Rangers from time to time. It's wild how bad they've been offensively. Now, they got Corey Seager back yesterday. Nobody cares about this. They got Corey Seager back yesterday. And finally scored some runs, but my goodness, it's been brutal. It's only seven fewer runs than the Royals. They're two of the three worst offenses in the American League so far. And I don't think it's going to hold up for either of them. By the way, I think both of them are going to power through that. The Royals, as we begin that, Tommy, for those who watch this, and I do a little bit. They have gotten back positive in run differential, which is pretty remarkable how quickly that happened, because they were way under the run differential for the year. But you sit here and you watch them and they're playing great, right? They've won 8 out of their last 10 and they just keep winning these series. They're still 3 games back at Detroit. Detroit looks incredible. All these young players, and a lot of us don't know a lot of those players. They have a ton of great young players. And they're pitching like crazy. Detroit's for real. And we know Cleveland's for real because Cleveland's always for real. This is going to be a dogfight with the Royals. Are the Twins still? I haven't watched the Twins much lately.
They're kind of mediocre. They're, I guess, hanging around. Not great. I don't.
Are you a subscriber to them being bad? Because I'm not. I think they're gonna be around 500 this year.
I think they'll be fine. I'm not honestly at this point right now concerned about any team really in the division. I mean, even Detroit and Cleveland. Like we're still early enough in the season that to me that's inconsequential right now. And because of the fact that I would like to think that the Royals bats are going to continue to stay hot, or at least, you know, it might level off a little bit, but at least be better than what it was. Because it was an onslaught yesterday. And honestly, like, the road trip was really good for Kansas City. I know that there was one game, they were blanked by Baltimore, the game on Saturday, but I thought they bounced back well yesterday. And you know what? I think here's the craziest thing about the entire game yesterday with the Royals' offensive output. You would have never thought that a team featuring these players that have struggled so mightily offensively would also be the team to set the franchise record for most home runs in one game. And that's what they did yesterday. They set the franchise record for most home runs in one game, a team that had been so anemic offensively leading up to that point. I mean, that just kind of shows, like, baseball is wild. Like, things like that, just weird things happen all the time.
Don't you love, too, that it's a lot of like Michael Garcia in that yesterday? Like, his development this year may be the coolest thing that's been there so far. He, just because he's such an exciting player when he's going. We had that game the other day where he stole 3 bases. Was that Thursday? I love that he's been a big part of this. His versatility has just been a really, really nice find for the Royals this year. We ask this question. I know we ask it a lot, but I do think it's the most important thing we talk about now. Now that they're playing better, right? Now that they're doing the things that they need to be doing and they have a chance, you know, through that first stretch of this, they're 10-2. Now they've closed this 16-game stand we talked about when they were playing really poorly with 4 against the White Sox. So You like that too. You know, you started at 10-2. Now don't let up at all. You know, finish the job here and do something special in this series. But I think the thing we'll continue to watch is just what can they get consistently out of the offense. You like the explosion yesterday of all the home runs. The two games prior, it's got blanked and you only scored four. Now, Sugano is good for Baltimore. Dean Kramer hasn't been that good and you got blanked, right? So
I'm not gonna downplay it. Like, look, I get it. Like, but at the same time, it was so great to see the way that the bats came alive yesterday. Yeah, in one
that
game,
could be a catalyst. But it tied
The most runs they've scored in a game. You have to go all the way back to the end of March against Milwaukee for them to match 11. They set a record for the season, at least a season high, 17 hits. They haven't done that before in a game. And I think the biggest thing is that you saw guys that had really struggled in hitting, they were able to get some things moving. And you mentioned the word catalyst. I think it absolutely can serve as that. I mean, guys like Michael Massey hit a home run. He's really struggled this season. Jonathan India hit a home run, and he had a couple of other hits and, you know, raised that batting average up. It was great to see Vinny Pasquantino get several hits. And, you know, so I do think that there, you mentioned Michael Garcia, his two home runs on the game. And, oh, by the way, Bobby Witt Jr. had a home run. Like, it was such a complete outing for Kansas City, and it was an entertaining game to watch because the Royals would take the lead, and then Baltimore would take it right back, and then Kansas City would take the lead, and Baltimore would take it right back, and it went back and forth like that until finally the Royals were like, you know what, let's just bust this thing wide open, and they were able to do that against the Baltimore pen, and you know that there was a fairly high leverage moment for the bullpen for Lucas Ursig. Baltimore had runners on base with less than two outs late in the game. I think it was the seventh or eighth inning, and the Orioles were down by three at that point. They had to bring in Ursig, and he was able to get out of it. And then Kansas City was able to bust it wide open. So I thought all in all, it was a great performance yesterday. I know it's just one game, but if we're trying to find signs of this offense finally coming to life, yesterday is a great start for that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a couple of the things that are some of those biggest things are Vinny Pasquantino hitting better. And I think we all have thought he would. Is Massey going to be a contributor every day?
He sure was
one
yesterday.
Hit, it was a home run, but just one for five. It actually brings up the average. We need him. Like, if he's going to keep his job, he's going to have to be better than he's been. And I think he'll be better.
I'm not going to downplay just the overall impact that Michael Massey had in the game yesterday, because defensively he was outstanding. He was outstanding he contributed a two run homer in that game that busted the game wide open for the Royals. Like, he was absolutely necessary in the lineup and on the field yesterday for the Royals.
And they still have him hitting six. I mean, obviously Quatrero still trusts him even through these struggles.
I feel I feel like, you know, the Royals have their best offensive outing of the entire season. I feel like you're sort of negative about it. Like, you're kind of downplaying a little bit. Like,
about it.
You know, if he wants is he going to do it? He's still hitting sixth. Are they going to do anything? It was good to see Pasquantino. They got blanked on Saturday.
If we're going to react big to a performance, 11-6, why don't you react the same to what happened on Friday when they were blanked by Dean Kramer? Like, I don't want to overreact or react to anything.
Well, I'm not overreacting to it, but we've been searching for signs of life offensively for this team. And I mean, they answered it.
Signs of consistent offense. Yes, they scored eight in the finale against Tampa, but they scored six in the two games prior. Like, I'm glad they scored 11 runs yesterday. I'm very glad they scored 11 runs yesterday. I won't be nearly as glad as they score three and two the next two against the White Sox. You know what I mean? Like, it's the consistency that's got to be there. I'm glad they can score 11 in one game. I'm more concerned with, can they consistently score four or five get up to at least league average?
I get that. I understand that. But I was concerned at one point that they couldn't even do that in one game. And they showed that they're able to. Like, I've been concerned that, man, there just isn't enough firepower to do anything in any single game. And they've shown that they can at least do that. Now, I do agree with you. Consistency is the most important thing. But I'm not going to take anything away from the performance that we saw yesterday from the Royals on the road against Baltimore. I was really impressed offensively with the way that there were contributions up and down the entire lineup, even from Luke Maley, who came in and played catcher for this team. They're carrying three catchers on their roster right now. And Luke Maley had a home run also. Like, that was cool to see. Like, just contributions up and down that entire lineup. lineup. That's what we've needed to see from the Royals. Again, can they back it up moving forward? I get that that's the question mark, but I'm not going to take anything away from the performance that we saw yesterday. That was highly impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive. It's great to know that it's there. I think it's got to be consistent, though. And that's but when we came into the year, I did not think the offense was going to be as much of a conversation as it's been early in the season. It's been the conversation, which is honestly not the worst thing, because if the conversation was pitching or the bullpen or anything like that, I think those would be bigger concerns, because I do believe in a lot of the bats in this lineup. So yeah, they've started slowly. It's just as it goes on and you see more and more, you're like, or is it, right? We're more than a month into the season. And the only reason I talk about it is because this is a team, I think, that has expectations to win playoff series. So everything is about like, what is this going to look like after July, right? Into August and September and October. And so that's where you see it. But yeah, I mean, and the other problem with discussing it now is you see yesterday and you see these things, and it's like, or they're just fine and they just were slumping collectively, which again, they did that a lot last year. Like in as great as last year was, they got hot and slumped collectively a lot. They were not good offensively going into the postseason last year, if you'll remember. Like, they really slowed down offensively.
They also were missing Vinny Pasquantino for the last month of the year, too, which, you know, certainly brought down their yeah. offensive output.
And they got him back for the postseason just in the nick of time, and they got a series win, but it wasn't through offense. You know, so that's those things linger, and it's like, you know, this is a team that you feel like on paper shouldn't be that dependent on one guy like Vinny, but if they are, that just tells you they need help. And so that's all I'm trying to do here, is like, either everybody gets back to their average, in which case probably the offense will be just fine, or we need to keep watching and wondering if they're going to do something. But it's too early for any of that. We're watching May baseball, so we're trying to decide it. We'll talk to Jalen Thompson about it. White Sox series comes up here, Tommy. Four games before, and it's a 7-game homestand, by the way. They'll play every day this week before you get Boston at home for 3. I don't want to stretch it out to 7, because we focus so much on these 16 games, and this is the final 4 of the 16. They've only lost 2 so far in the first 12. Are we so spoiled here that we're like, it's got to be 3-1 against the White Sox? I do kind of feel that way.
I mean, you know, split the series at minimum, and you've got a 12-4 stretch over the 16 games, which I think exceeds expectations, you know, point overall in that 16-game stretch. I mean, I think that that's the baseline, right? You can't lose a series at home against a team that is the worst in your division and one of the worst in baseball, and that you beat up on last season. I mean, that was we've talked about it before. That was a huge reason why the Royals got off to their great start last year, was because they played the White Sox a ton early on in the season and beat up on them. And that was able to kind of propel them to the success that we saw from Kansas City last year. So it's taken over a month into the season to be able to face the White Sox, take advantage of those games when you've got them at home against a team in the basement, in the cellar of your division. So I would say baseline 2-2. I think it'll probably be better than that. And then you're looking at just a phenomenal bounce back. And keep in mind how bad this team was on the road. And I know that they're coming back home now, but how bad they were on the road in that last road trip. They were 2-8. They wrap up this road trip 6-1. And so, you know, them being able to get their overall road record back to where, you know, probably slightly under where it needs to be, you'd love for them to be 500 when it's all said and done on the road. I mean, that certainly goes a long way and kind of erases the bad taste in your mouth from when they went 2-8 on the road before.
I think everything's erased. I agree. I think all the bad tastes are erased for sure. The White Sox can pitch a little bit with their starters. Their bullpen's not very good. Their starters aren't terrible. So we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, the Royals, just like they did yesterday, I think, you know, things, the positive, like, they got to a bullpen. It's been a while since they've gotten to a bullpen, too. And they certainly did against Baltimore twice in that series. And it may need to be the same thing against the White Sox, who've had okay starting pitching this year. And then everything else just sucks, you know. Yes, let's all collectively take a look at Luis Robert, right, in this series, potential trade candidate for the White Sox if somebody's willing to take on some money. A good player. They signed him to a big deal. He's not helping them, though, so we can watch him in that series. And we'll keep an eye on all of it. Jalen Thompson's in next. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend and everything that we are watching with the Royals this time of year. He's
by the way,
early visit this week.
Can we mention briefly, I know we've talked about just, you know, how the team collectively offensively maybe starting to come alive and we see some signs of life individually. I mean, some of these guys that we've needed to see their averages increase some. I mean, they've done that over this road trip. And again, it's about consistency and having it move forward. But, you know, Vinny Pastino is almost back up to 200, you know, 197 after the road trip. I mean, but look, like, let's give credit where credit is due. It was bad for quite a while. Salvador Perez was under 200 for a while. He's got that average all the way up to 244, and he's a doubles machine right now. Michael Massey's over 200 now. Jonathan India's got his batting average up. Like, these guys we've needed to see hit and get on base individually, they've started to do that.
Yeah, look, Vinny, I laugh because Vinny, last year I was worried about Vinny. This year I've thought he's hit the ball well. I thought he's looked okay at the plate. Last year he looked a little lost when we were really starting to be concerned. I never, like, this year he's felt a little unlucky to me. So I'm glad to see them start falling in the right places. I don't think there's any, like, it's pretty clear the return of the offense has come through Vinny and Salvi mostly. Jonathan India gets on base, right? We'd like to see him hit a little more. He is hitting a little
more.
He was, even when he was slumping, he was getting on base. So he's sort of doing his job a little bit. There's a lot of positive signs with it. There's no doubt about it. Now you get to come back home. We'll see Vinny and Salvi are going to be what drives runs in this offense. Last year, they were two of the best run producers, two of the best RBI guys in baseball when they were out there. And I think that is very easily capable of happening again when you look at who's hitting ahead of them. I mean, it just is. Like, these two guys are going to have tons and tons and tons of opportunities to drive in runs in games. They just got to do it. Yeah, we'll get Jalen Thompson in the next hour. I'm so excited that I'm out to it. So Rick says, we'll go to some Chiefs talk here, that Simmons probably doesn't play at all. This is what Rick's heard. I'm not sure you heard that, Rick. I haven't seen anything like that. And I'm open to be missing it, but I'm not seeing the same thing. He was like stretching and sprinting and stuff in camp, right? Like right now. We're a long way from when he would actually need to do anything of significance. That, you know, I don't know why injuries that are common, Tommy, like common injuries like his is, it's a serious injury, but it's not an uncommon injury, scare teams away as much as they do in the draft process, right? But they do. And so the Chiefs can afford to take risk everywhere because they have a higher floor through Mahomes and Reed and all the things that they have. The vibe feels so much better for him there than it has anyone at left tackle for such a long time. To Rick's point, if he didn't even play this year but gave him something, I don't think it's that drastic, but that would be fine. Like, they've set themselves up for that scenario anyway. But I'm not seeing anything that would tell me it's going to be that long, Tommy.
Yeah, one of the things that I think that we all need to keep in mind, too, is that, you know, it's not just getting the reps on the field with your team. It's also learning the playbook. It's also, you know, adapting to the kind of offense that Andy Reid runs and what's going to be expected of you at that position. I think the one benefit, and this was something that I know that was talked about quite a bit during the draft process with Josh Simmons, but one benefit for Josh Simmons coming into this organization and the philosophies and the playbooks and everything from Andy Reid is that he came from a pro style offense at Ohio State that Chip Kelly ran and all of that. So I would think that, you know, that transition into the NFL, you know, may not be quite as complex for Josh Simmons as it might be for other guys making that jump from college to the NFL. There's still going to be development for sure, but it may not be quite as lengthy of a transition for a guy like Josh Simmons because of the kind of style that he played in college.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he played at Ohio State. He'll be able to step in once he's healthy. I don't know, and, you know, maybe we'll ask somebody this at some point. Like, what is the most difficult thing about the transition for a left tackle to the NFL? My guess is it's physical traits, Tom. It's like, I don't, you know, for tight ends, we've heard for a long time, and we've started to see rookies have a bigger, you know, contribution as tight ends in recent years. I think that's because they put a bigger emphasis on pass catching than maybe blocking. But forever, it's because they're being asked to do three or four different things, right? You got to know how to block everything up. You got to know all your routes. You have to be able to. Quarterbacks, it's obvious. Running backs have always been able to transition smoothly, you know, more smoothly than any position. Receivers have gotten better at it. You don't hear a lot about, like, what is it? I think, you know, our eyes tell us it's the physical component. Like, Kingsley Suamataia was not physically there last year. He was physically dominated at the line. Just was. So I've never heard any of that concern out of Simmons, right? You've heard a little bit of character and attitude, which you always do with rookies, which is strange. I think he's a super confident guy. I love his confidence. But it's mostly about, you know, physically, does his knee hold up? I think all the other physical stuff, that's why everyone thought he was a top 10 tackle, because he looks like an NFL left tackle, the way he plays and the way he's able to dominate. So some people might call this high risk for the Chiefs. I think this is a low risk endeavor for Kansas City. Like, it really, what is the risk factor here? That he never plays? That's what I mean about these injuries. Sometimes teams like come into these and they'll see an injury and they're like, oh, we can't draft that player. It's like, why do you think he's like never going to play football again because he has a knee injury? There's very few offensive linemen in the game that don't play with two big old knee braces on every single snap.
Yeah, I think that, you know, really as far as what the risk is, you have to keep in mind where the floor is for Kansas City at left tackle. I mean, another benefit for Simmons coming in is how bad that left tackle position not just was last year, but just overall, ever since Eric Fisher left, it's been up and down, right? And it really hasn't, you know, I think at best it's been okay, and the worst has been really, 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 really bad. And so, you know, it's not like Josh Simmons is coming in and replacing, I don't know, a future Hall of Famer, right? Or like the, you know, I think that that's part of it too, is that the expectations, yeah, they're high because that's a very important position, and you've got to have somebody there to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side and all of that. But Josh Simmons has the benefit of, it's not like he's coming in and replacing somebody that was highly productive. So that certainly does help, right? Like, you're kind of like, man, anything is better than the bottom. And that's where the Chiefs at least were a year ago. And so I do think that that's why, like, if I'm Josh Simmons, I'm happy coming into this role. And I know I've got to rehab and I've got to get healthy and I've got to learn how to adapt to the NFL and all of that. But at least I know that it's not like there was a high amount of production. I mean, shoot, the Chiefs had to move their all-pro guard over to play left tackle for a handful of games last season because they didn't have anybody that was productive and they could do it and that they could trust and that was competent in that role. And so I do think that that certainly helps a guy like Josh Simmons coming in, because anything is better than what the Chiefs had before at that position.
Yeah, and look, it's a knee injury. These big fellas are on those knees. I get it. I understand it. It's just to see if he really is that universally revered, that kind of a slide. I don't know. Maybe the Chiefs just get that benefit of the doubt and that luck factor that it doesn't matter.
But can we give him the benefit of the doubt? Because it's not like he is often injured in his career. And I know that it's, I know it's been a serious injury, and that was 100% the reason why he slid down draft boards all across the league going into the draft. But it's not like this guy is hurt all the time. He had one, and it's a big one, right? But like he's had one injury in his college career. That was it. It's not like he's injured all the time. This was it. If he can rehab and get back from it, and I know that like there are people that have not been able to come back from injuries like this, I get that. But let's give this guy the benefit of the doubt that he can rehab his way back.
He ran a few drills. Like, he ran drills already. Like, when they took him, I was like, okay, is he going to have to, like, maybe he'll be ready by like week 10, like, no, like, he's doing drills now. And the Chiefs came out and they said, we're really comfortable with it, which of course they're going to say that. Like, it will become a fascinating storyline, where it may not be if he was 2 years into the league. Like, Is he totally healthy? Is he not healthy at all? Like, that's what I'm not. My whole point for all of this is, like, how does a guy who, like, I haven't read one person that follows this stuff that doesn't say most talented tackle in the draft. Not one. It's this knee injury. And that's what I mean. Like, does that mean he doesn't play this year? Because if it's just a knee injury he's dealing with, and a serious one, and I get that, the fall all the way down to the Chiefs doesn't make a ton of sense to me. He's a young dude that's been hurt like once, by all accounts, one time, that can play both tackle positions, did at Ohio State, do it really well. Okay. I guess we'll find out, but the risk seems very appropriate for the Chiefs, and it probably seems appropriate for a lot of different teams if he really is that talented of a tackle. But we look back and we, like, if we go all the way back, Tom, and how many conversations we've had about that position, this year's draft, everything else, these good teams, and it's not just the Chiefs, that, like, the good teams in the league seem to always get these gift wrapped things for them at the end of the first round. Like, they're able to come in and just kind of clean up on all those little concerns that let talented guys fall in the draft. It happens all the time. Feels like the Ravens have done it a billion times, right? We see the Eagles doing that now. Like, they've gotten really good at that. And for the Chiefs, for that to so clearly be this team's greatest need, and it's not, there's not a close second place, to have that guy fall to them and them not even have to, they were able to trade down and get him. Like, that's wild, wild, wild stuff. And, you know, I think all signs right now, and again, we've had a couple of meetings and he's stretched and ran around in some drills, but it looks like it could be a major coup for the Chiefs. We talk about the NFL's first round, Tommy. If the Chiefs get a starting left tackle that is as good as his pedigree, it's hard to imagine, outside of Cam Ward turning around the Titans franchise, there being a more impactful to determine a Super Bowl pick made in the first round than he could be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, like, it's, you know, been a major, major point of emphasis for Kansas City. I mean, the fact that they have tried everything that they could possibly try to get it right at that position for a long time. I mean, shoot, they even signed a guy who is currently starting at right tackle with the thought that he would be their left tackle, and he's never played a snap at left tackle, right? Like, they have gone back to the well so many times trying to find a fit for that position and to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side. If I'm Patrick Mahomes, there comes a time, and maybe this offseason was a watershed moment for the Chiefs organization where, you know, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm like, guys, eventually we have to get this right. Like, I'm going to get killed out here. You've got to do something to protect me, and we've got to get this offense back on track. I'm not going to be able to operate, especially the older I get, the way that I want to, and be able to have a downfield passing attack if we don't have somebody protecting my blind side consistently. And I don't know. I have no idea what the internal conversations have been. But again, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm having that conversation a lot at this point. Like, I'm going to get killed back here. Stop trying to put a Band-Aid on it. You know, stop trying to draft the guy in the, you know, third round or fifth round. Like, I know at one point, Wanya Morris was supposed to be potentially the left tackle of the future. It didn't work with Kingsley Suamataia. Juwan Taylor, as I just mentioned. Like, they've got to try to find a way to get somebody in place that can be consistent. And, you know, now they've got a couple of options. Jalen Moore right away, and then Josh Simmons, depending on when he can work his way back. So I think at this point, like, it just becomes that much more glaring. My big fear going into the draft, as we've talked about before, was that the Chiefs have not drafted well at that position. But the fact that Josh Simmons right. has consistently graded out as the top tackle in the draft, I do
they
think this...
They didn't have to overthink it.
They didn't have to overthink it. Like, take the guy that's there in front of them, let him work back from his injury, and let him dominate at that position.
Take the guy that everybody thinks is the best right. tackle on their board. I saw it was like James Palmer and Jeremy Fowler. If you go back to look at, you know, some reporting on that pick, it's not about, like, for a lot of teams, it doesn't sound like it was about the injury or whether he could recover. People were comfortable that it's like a, as Jeremy Fowler puts it, a maturity slash character thing. And if that's the case, you feel even better about it, because that's what the Chiefs do. Like, they don't have, they get people in and get them bought in and all the things that they need to do. It's just, they had the camp. He's out there. I think him being out there is further along than I expected him to be at all. So that was a development, I suppose you could call it, over the weekend. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Can't wait for it. It's been a fun show. We'll keep the ball rolling here. It's all Brock and Caster. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.